Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Intro music is brought to you by Renaissance Music Records. This is Seti P's Soul Kick. Thank you for the contributions, guys. Okay, so it's Monday, which means it's Mock Draft Monday. Be excited for that. That will finish out the show. I have a new winner from you guys, and we'll go over Jordan Reed's 6.0 Mock Draft, which has some interesting offensive selections. But before that, we'll go over some recent power rankings that were listed on NFL.com, and you'll kind of hear me go off about where I think different teams are and where the Steelers belong. Also, yes, a really great story from Dale Lally of DKPittsburghSports.com via his Friday Insider column that involves Troy Polamalu and how he still touches to this day his own teammates from his days with the Steelers. Let's get into it. Okay, everybody, it's Monday. Hope you had a nice, relaxing weekend. You were inside being safe, keeping yourself clean, and that all of you are listening to this in good health. I did a bunch of that. I was able to hang out inside. I watched that Tiger King show that everyone's talking about, and dear God, is that insane. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about football. Not a whole lot is happening, so this is the time of the year where I start to go around, see what other people are thinking, and we're going over things. So wanted to do this one of the sillier things that I think exists, and that's the existence of power rankings. Now, in general, power rankings to me, they mean nothing. I mean, it's just like, it's our opinions on how good each team is. It doesn't impact division rankings, but you know, they're fun debate points about where each team is. And so I'm going to go off one that was released last week by Dan Hansis of around the NFL on NFL.com. So Dan goes in and the obvious top teams are there. You got the Chiefs at one, the Niners at two. I think that's very fair that you put those two teams at the top. With their winning, and also the Niners are now getting a really high draft pick because they traded DeForest Buckner to get that draft pick. So it's going to be a question, where do they reinforce their where do they reinforce their team? Do they get Jimmy Garoppolo another weapon? Do they find some way to fortify the offense? That'll be interesting. Number three was the Baltimore Ravens, which makes a lot of sense. They were arguably the best team in the regular season and then just didn't get a win in the playoffs because the Titans came to town and toot toot, Derrick Henry running people over. So that's interesting. The Saints, which is also fair because the Saints are a team that, they've been on that cusp for years and they just had some rough, losses in the playoffs. They still got Drew Brees. They still got Alvin Kamara. They still got Marcus Lattimore. They still got Cameron Jordan. Lots of talent on that team. Michael Thomas, of course. I'm not trying to leave people off, but there's so much talent on that team. Eventually, you'd think that they'd have to put it together. Number five, the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. That's an interesting pick there. I think the Packers have a lot to figure out. They're nowhere near being at the top of the list. But hey, Packers, Aaron Rodgers, he's a bad man. We'll see how that goes. Got the Tennessee Titans at six, which is interesting because, they made their rush to the playoffs. I don't know if I could put them at six because they kind of finished hot and it wasn't like a whole year thing, but who knows? Maybe they figured something out with Ryan Tannehill. I just have this feeling that Ryan Tannehill is going to be figured out at some point and they're going to have to, and they might run into a wall. But hey, we'll see what that is. Number seven was the Seahawks, which makes sense. The Steelers are coming up here in just a little bit. Hang in there with me. Number eight was the Bills. Number nine was the Eagles. And here were the Steelers at number 10, jumping up from the 16th spot in his previous power rankings. Now, 10 is a very good spot. 10's making the playoffs. 10 is, even before the new system gets set up for the 2021 season, 10 is, a top five. In fact, if we're looking at the other AFC teams here, you got the Ravens, the Titans, and the Bills. I mean, that's the fourth best team there. That most likely be the five seed because you have the Ravens winning the division. But that's what I keep trying to tell people. Like when we were talking about this with you guys remember if you were listening to the Ultimate Division Crossover Week that we were doing, and I was talking to the Locked On Ravens, Bengals, and Browns guys, and everyone thought the Steelers were going to be a joke this year. They were kind of just like, yeah, they're going to stink. Ben Roethlisberger's old. He's done. They don't have anything else on the team. Who cares about a pass rush? Who cares about their really good cornerback pair and their first team All-Pro free safety? Pfft, what does any of that mean? I think that some people people that are in the know are taking the Steelers serious. And that's cool to read because you as fans, right? I used to be like this when I was in undergrad. I went to undergrad at Cheney University, the first historically black college in the land. It was all the way out in Philly. So I had no local coverage. I didn't have a newspaper to pick up and read about, you know, what local guys were talking. I didn't have, you know, any radio stations or TV stations to turn on. It was all Eagles country. So, relying on the national stuff used to be rough. And it was also a huge reason why I had a different sense of how Ben Roethlisberger was thought of, because nationally Ben Roethlisberger was just talked bad about. It's so funny to hear different perspectives from this, because if you're a Steelers fan and you don't live in Pittsburgh, you think that Ben Roethlisberger gets dogged every single day, and he does in the national media. Whenever things come up, it's about it's been done. And this was 10, 12 years ago. This was, you know, back in the early days of Ben Roethlisberger when he was trying to win a second Super Bowl for the Steelers. And you know, you look at, you know, I remember those days. And then when I didn't understand it, when, you know, I used to talk to my family at home and they were like, you know, Chris, it's not like that here. I'm like, what do you mean? It's every day there's something about Ben Roethlisberger that's negative. And then I come back to Pittsburgh and it's a completely different territory. So it's always interesting to me, and not just with Ben Roethlisberger, but with all the things with the Steelers, where certain people put the Steelers and how quickly some people count them out. Like, if you know who Adam Schein is, I think he's on CBS's NFL team or whatever, but he constantly attacks the Steelers, and to the point that I think it's a shtick. I think he's just being a heel, but still, it's kind of like over the top. Like, okay, guy, we get it. You don't like them. That's fine. But the Steelers getting 10, and right behind them is the Dallas Cowboys, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then the Minnesota Vikings. You know, and they have the Patriots all the way down at 16, which is very interesting. The Browns are still at 19. but you know, I think that the Steelers making the 10th spot, that's right around where I think that they deserve to be. I mean, let's be realistic, guys. The Steelers defense was one of the best defenses in football through most of 2018. Now they're going to have a year of experience together. You're hoping that they can be healthy. If Tuitt and Hayward can be on fire at the same time, which they've never really been. That's another point that I think is very interesting. We'll talk some other day about in more depth. But, you know, when Cam Hayward's on fire, it's Tuitt's either hurt or figuring something out. When Tuitt's on fire, Cam's either hurt or figuring something out. They've never been unstoppable at the same time. And that could be extremely dangerous if they figure that out, along with Bud Dupree and TJ Watt. I mean, that could become the best front four that we've ever seen. So there's that. Speaking of which, I have some business to tend to, because we forgot to go over, well, I forgot, it's not you guys' fault, to go over who won Fantasy Draft Friday. Haha. So looking at the show, remember, Fantasy Draft Friday was a show where I competed with Tony Serino and Hunter Homestack of DKPittsburghSports.com, and we created our own Pittsburgh Steelers front seven. Hunter had the first pick, Tony Serino had the second, I had the third, and we kind of worked our way through that. But it was an interesting competition. I went for more of the edge rushing and the cover side. Hunter got to load up in the middle of his defense, because he got to get Joe Green and Ernie Stoutner, the dirty dog. Tony went with the approach of just having as many longer-term Steeler guys, which was interesting. And the voting flipped around a lot with you guys. I gotta say, like, coming out the gates, we, you know, I was looking at it and I saw Tony didn't have a vote, and then all of a sudden Tony was in the lead. As of now, and this is of recording it, Tony actually won with 18 votes. I came in second with 16. Hunter came in third with 9. So congratulations, Tony. You stink. You guys got it wrong. I don't know how you chose Tony over me. We will talk about this on Tony Tuesday, which is tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be gloating a lot. Anyways, also, if you're wondering about the Pittsburgh Media March Madness, that should be wrapped up by the time you're listening to this episode today. I'm way ahead in the Elite Eight round on Dan Potash. I believe after this, I will be facing Bill Hillgrove, but I'll have more details for you guys on Pittsburgh Media March Madness tomorrow when everything's finalized and the new poll's up, and then it'll be posted in the Facebook group. Again, if you want to contribute, if you want to have fun and part of these games, Mock Draft Monday, Fantasy Draft Friday, and get more about what's going on, join the Facebook group locked by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Just ask to join. I'll put you on, and then you can chat with hundreds of others Locked On Steelers listeners. We got a ton in there. We always have people talking and having fun. It's a really good group. Thanks to all those who help make it a really good group. All right, with that, going to take a break. Then we're going to go over a really cool story that Dale Lally shared with us on DKPittsburghSports.com right after this. All right, we're back. So let's get into this really cool story that that kind of happened. And this is just a testimony to how great of a person Troy Polamalu is and how much he means to a lot of people. Now, Miss Ye, who is one of our bigger listeners, she's always thanking us and giving us cool stories and hitting us up. She told a really cool story about her personal experience with Troy Polamalu and just how humble he always seemed. And so this is a story not just about his humility, but his connection with his own teammates. So this story comes from Dale Lally in our Friday Insider column on DKPittsburghSports.com. I encourage you to go read it to see all the details. I'm just going to go over the main points of this story and how it touches me as a person that I've actually met with Brian McFadden. I never got the chance to interview Troy. Still haven't actually ever met Troy. He's, you know, he doesn't come out to a lot of media stuff until this year or this offseason, really. So, but Brian McFadden, I have met. Really good guy. If you don't remember Brian McFadden, he's a former second-round pick for the Steelers back in 2005. He elevated himself to become the starting cornerback opposite of Ike Taylor. And he was a big part of that late 2005 run to Super Bowl 40. If you don't remember, he was guarding Reggie Wayne in that Peyton Manning playoff game in the RCA Dome in Indianapolis. I mean, he was just on fire. He was knocking passes away. He was always in position, always very good. And in fact, he also won with the Steelers in 2008. He was a big part of that secondary, coming in and filling in whenever Ike or Deshae Townsend went down. He was a really good player. Just kind of had some injury issues, and then they pushed him off to the Cardinals. And then he came back, and then he wasn't as good because he had more injury issues. And so, he's a very interesting guy. He's become an NFL analyst himself. He did college football, and I think he does some pro football work. He's a really cool guy. He works for CBS Sports right now. So if you ever get a chance to follow Brian McFadden, I suggest you look him up. He's a very insightful football mind. But this story is about what something that he revealed himself about his experience with Troy Polamalu. So he goes in and he's talking about the Christmas prior to the Christmas of 2011, which would have been his last season with the Steelers. And this is if you're trying to think of what Steelers season this would be before the Tim Tebow playoff game. I'm sorry I put that in your head, but that's just when it was. So he says, Brian McFadden says, "This was my last season in Pittsburgh. This was my last year. I tore my hamstring in training camp, and then I tore it again in the first game against the Ravens. I didn't get a chance to get myself together. Troy wrote me a Merry Christmas letter that I never shared with anybody. He titled it, 'To My Dear Brother.'" So Dale has like the physical pictures of the card, of the Merry Christmas card, and some of it's cut off. But I'm going to just read to you parts of it on this show, since you can't see it right in front of you. But I encourage you to go read the whole thing yourself. But it says, "To my dear brother, Merry Christmas. I am so grateful for our friendship and look forward to many more years of experience. I know you're facing so much adversity, but in all truthfulness, I envy you for this reason, bro. Everything that happens in our lives is for the benefit of our salvation, not necessarily for earthly joy or prestige. Continue to persevere and you will have the greatest spiritual benefit, better than any ring or award can offer. Of course, thousands of people won't be able to witness upon your spiritual battle, but God sees all. This is what a personal relationship with Christ is all about. It's all about struggle for purity." That's pretty deep there. And then he continues. He's like, I'm so thankful for you and for providing providing me encouragement to struggle for humility and purity harder. I love you, brother. Merry Christmas, Troy. I mean, geez, is that just, are you taken aback by that? Like, I mean, it's not like it's surprising, but it's just another just opening up of just who Troy Polamalu is and how, what his relationship was to his teammates that he worked hard with. McFadden went on to talk about it a little bit more with Dale. He said a lot of people don't realize that in my last year in Pittsburgh, some of the guys kind of witnessed it, but it was very frustrating for me. Going into camp, I started off camp playing really good football, and then I tore my hamstring. I wanted to press myself to get ready for the opening game, which was against the Ravens. I wasn't healthy or 100% healthy, but I wanted to go out and fight with my brothers, and I ended up tearing my hamstring in the first half of the game. I kept trying to fight through it and stayed in that ball game. Long story short, we ended up losing that game, and I ended up hurting myself even more. And then the thing was that as that season went on, William Gay ended up taking his place, and then Keenan Lewis was stepping up. So it was just rough for McFadden to battle through and get back into the lineup. He said, and he even acknowledged that. He said, they were playing good football, and the defense was playing good football. You know the old saying, if it's not broke, why fix it? The frustration for me was well documented with a lot of guys. Troy saw some of the other things that I was going through and some of the things that were being told to me as well. But I never wavered. I came in with a positive attitude and did whatever was called upon me to do. That's what warranted this letter from Troy. And that's what Troy's all about. Remember what he told Dale Lolley back about why he kind of was okay with retiring and distancing himself at the time? Well, one, he wanted to distance himself because he said he wanted to take a break from football as a whole. But he also said he just didn't feel like babysitting people. And I think this is what he was talking about. He wanted guys that he could feel like their brothers in the war. And that's just not what he was feeling after the 2013 season, which is when he retired. McFadden goes on, says, the thing about Troy was so surprising to me was that I didn't think he was paying attention to some of the things that were going on with me. I didn't talk about it a lot, talk a lot about it because it was my personal problem. For him to be a teammate, an individual who had everything going for him and see what I was going through and write this, it tells you what kind of type of individual he is. And he's absolutely correct, because Troy Polamalu, if this is 2011, the year before, he was the defensive MVP of the NFL. 2011, he was still on fire. And the Steelers defense, I believe, in those 2 years was number one. And like, Troy Polamalu was at the height of his career. I guess that was still the height of Troy Polamalu's, you know, arc. So, he's absolutely right. Troy Polamalu didn't have to see these problems with Brian McFadden, but he did, because that's who Troy Polamalu is. He said, at the time, it really hit home, because here was a superstar player that had everything good going for him on the field and off the field. We had a really tight bond that goes for all of us. For him to see my battle, the adversity I was going through at the end of the season, I knew I was going to be released. I never played again. It really meant a lot. I still have it to this day. And the fact that he held on to that letter for all these years, I mean, it's still in pristine condition that you can read the whole thing. I think that's very cool. And it just shows who Troy Polamalu is and how he impacted everyone else around him, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's just an amazing story. There's more there. There's more quotes. I didn't read everything. And there's also more detail from Dale, because he spoke directly with Brian McFadden about this story. So if you get a chance, go check that out on dkpittsburghsports.com. This is from Friday's Insider from March 27th. If you want to find it, go to dkpittsburghsports.com. You can hover over the R Stuff column. Go down to Friday Insider. It'll be the most recent one. So, great story there. What did you think? Let me know by hitting me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques, or you can really go to Dale himself, because he's the one that collected the story, and let Dale what you thought about that piece. Dale Lolley's Twitter is dlolley, LOLLEY _PGH. He's also a great Twitter follow, because he gets a lot of stuff before a lot of other Pittsburghers, and he's very consistent with what he does. He's also kind of funny at times in an old guy kind of way. All right, so that segment, the part that you guys have been waiting for, Mock Draft Monday, coming up next. All right, everybody, it's Mock Draft Monday, so as usual, we'll go over a recent mock draft from thedraftnetwork.com, and then we'll go over which one of you, the Locked On listeners, won Mock Draft Monday, and I'll go over all your picks. So, thanks to all those who participated. Let's get into the mock draft. This is Jordan Reed's 2020 Mock Draft 6.0. This was published last week, but there's no real new one that goes three rounds. So I was like, yeah, let's have fun and go with this one. So, of course, got to go over who does Jordan Reed have the Dolphins taking at 18, and where do they stack up with, of course, their trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers? He had the Dolphins selecting Josh Jones, offensive tackle. I really like Josh Jones. I think he's going to be a very good offensive tackle. I would like it if the Steelers got him, but would I prefer him over Minka Fitzpatrick? No. Anyways, moving forward. Second round. So he went on on the 49th pick. Now, again, we got offensive linemen flying off the board like crazy. Ezra Cleveland, offensive tackle, Boise State, goes at 33. Woof. Grant Delpit goes to the Giants at 36, so he was off the board. Prince Tegawanago from Auburn is off the board. J.K. Dobbins is off the board. Jalen Reagor, Antoine Winfield Jr., Jeremy Chin, Cesar Ruiz. I mean, they were taking DeAndre Swift, Lloyd Cushenberry III. These are all targets that we've been sitting here thinking, like, man, these would all be really good guys for the Steelers to pick. So what if the top running backs are off the board? What if your top offensive linemen are off the board? What if there's no receiver that's worth the 49th pick, considering you already got three guys who were basically picked in the second round? Yes, I know Deontay Johnson was a third round, but I mean, he was picked very early in the third round, kind of a second round. You get my point. So it's tough to justify that. There's no tight end that justifies picking in the second round. So where did Jordan Reed go with this? Jalen Hurts of Oklahoma, quarterback. I'm kind of stunned that other people think that that's going to happen, but I'm not stunned that I think it's bad, because I like Jalen Hurts. I think that he would actually come in and really push Mason Rudolph, possibly even take his spot in the first training camp. Hurts is very athletic. He has a good arm. His accuracy can kind of wane at times, but he has a very good understanding of the game. He can talk through a lot of his progressions, and he's able to go through progressions while also scrambling and making plays with his feet and extending plays and drawing them out so he can find guys moving across the field. He seems like a leader. We just saw him how he played at Oklahoma. You saw him win a national championship with Alabama. You saw him how he came in even when Tua Tagovailoa took his job. And in the following season, he stuck with Alabama. And then you saw him really come in the SEC championship game where Tua was getting destroyed by Georgia. And then Hurts just came alive and dragged Alabama to a big win that year. Just Jalen Hurts is a very interesting pick. I think he's a gamer. And, you know, people would call Devin Hodges a gamer, but Hodges is a gamer without the NFL talent. Hurts does have that talent. He has the speed. He has at least an arm, and he has those abilities that would translate well to the NFL. Now, would he be Lamar Jackson? I don't think all that, but I think he would be an interesting backup option for the next couple years with Ben Roethlisberger, and it'd be interesting to see how he grows in the system, because he succeeded at Alabama and at Oklahoma, if you think about it. That's two different systems he had to learn. If he could do that in the NFL with the Steelers, maybe it would behoove them. So, quarterback, an interesting pick. I'm not going to flame Jordan for that. I actually kind of like it. I still think that they should try to get a running back there, but, you know, that's another story. But who did he have the Steelers picking at tight end? He got him getting Adam Trautman, tight end of Dayton. Now, Troutman's a big-time receiving tight end. He had a lot of touchdowns. I think he had 5 in a single game at one point last year. So, I mean, yeah, I get that, but I don't like this pick as much, because Adam Trautman in the third round, when you just signed Ebron, you just signed McDonald. No, this was after that. So, yeah, this would have been after they signed Ebron. But, I mean, I guess that was still fresh in people's minds. But the point being, with Ebron there, McDonald there, why would they sign? Why would they draft another tight end early, especially a receiving tight end? Especially when they have a receiving tight end in Zach Gentry waiting in the wings. He's a third round draft, or he's not third round, third tight end on the group. He's a fifth round draft pick, and he's another guy that, you know, he can catch the ball, he can go up and get it in the red zone, but he's not your blocking type tight end, and there's not a lot of those anymore. So, you know, Adam Trautman, interesting pick there. I wouldn't go all out for it. But hey, you know, interesting stuff there from Jordan Reed. Check it out on thedraftnetwork.com. And now it is time to reveal who won Mock Draft Monday between all of you's guys. So we had some very good picks. You guys made it really tough on me this year. You know, I was not this year, this week, because I literally do go over as many of them as I can. I mean, I go over all of them, but then I look at each pick and then I go back over some profiles and some notes that I keep. So I'm going to give a couple shout outs to the people that didn't win, but had some really good picks. Tyler Aldrich, I liked your Antoine Winfield, Zach Moss, Ben Bartsch combination, at the top of your picks. I thought that was pretty cool. Robert Williamson, I really liked your combination of Lucas Niang and Zach Moss and Jason Stobridge. I'm a little hesitant on Stobridge, though. Like, I looked at his tape, and he doesn't seem like a pass rusher that would really help on the interior offensive line. But Niang would be a heck of an offensive tackle. If they could land him. Christopher Lee Reynolds Jr. actually showed me something I didn't know. He apparently traded back on a simulator. I didn't know that was possible in any one of them. He ended up getting Jeremy Chinn and Cam Akers and then Chase Claypool, which would be pretty amazing. But again, I don't think that's happening. There were some people that had some interesting picks in there. But our winner is a person who posts a lot, and it's Clint Fritz. Clint, congratulations on your win this week. Your picks were Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You guys have heard me talk about him enough on this show. I really like him as an X-factor type of running back. He makes people miss in space. He makes people miss behind the line of scrimmage. He catches the football real well, and he's only put the ball on the turf one time in his collegiate career. But what really made this for me was being able to snag Ashton Davis at safety at 102. Now, you heard me talk with John Ledyard, an NFL draft expert and beat writer on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for Pewter Report. We did a show last week, and me and him, we went back and forth about all these different players, and he thought the Steelers might take, in his most recent mock draft, Antoine Winfield, safety out of Minnesota. Now, Ashton Davis, he felt might be a better, deeper option for the Steelers, and he said he thinks that he's one of the more underrated safeties in this class, and that the Steelers landed him with one of their middle picks. That would be a huge win for them. So, you know, I looked over some of his tape. I like Ashton Davis. I think he's smooth. I think that he can find the football well. I think that they need guys like this that are going to be able to play the football and jump in and be legitimate, reliable help for if Minkah Fitzpatrick or Terrell Edmonds can't jump back. Terrell Edmonds, right now, you want him covering people in the slot. You want him helping against the run. You want him playing over the middle, being tough, being big, and using his size and his explosiveness. But playing deep center field is just, that's tough. Ashton Davis could come in and help with that and give them some flexibility there. Interesting pick for the first of their fourth round picks, Jake Fromm, quarterback of Georgia. Now, Fromm to me did more in college than Mason Rudolph. I saw Fromm's freshman year, and the way that he played, he almost won Georgia a national championship. If Tua Tagovailoa didn't come in and win that game, Fromm was on fire his freshman year. Now, he hasn't been consistent, but I like his arm. I like his toughness. I think that he would be an interesting addition to the quarterback room. I know the Steelers say they don't want to get a quarterback, but I just have a hard time looking at the quarterback room and thinking they don't need another presence there, because, you know, even it's just someone to push Mason Rudolph. They need that, and I don't think Devin Hodges is going to do that next year. I know Tony will probably kill me tomorrow, but whatever. Going down the line, Damian Lewis, and this was really the pick that locked it up for you, Clint, because I love Damian Lewis. You guys got to know, if they can get Damian Lewis with a third or fourth round pick, it's to me, that's a huge win. I think he's a guy, it's going to take some time to develop. His hand placement is very inconsistent. He can get outside the pads, do a lot of things wrong, but all things considered, Damian Lewis bullies people in the middle of the line. That's what I want from a guard. I want some guy that's going to just destroy people, and he folds people in half. So I like that. Chappelle Russell at outside linebacker Temple, you could put him in and say, like, hey, you know what? You know, maybe you're helping coverage, maybe you're helping in rushing the passer, but it gives you at least an option there. And maybe another guy can contribute on special teams. But one last note here, I really like Juwan Jennings. I think that him as a receiver, he's a receiver out of Tennessee with that seventh round pick. If they can just snag Juwan Jennings late, I think that he's going to be a heck of a player in the NFL. I don't think he's going to ever be a number one receiver, but he could be a really solid number two, number three receiver, you know, like a Nate Washington or a Cedric Wilson that would really come through when you needed a guy to step up in from your reserves. And the Steelers have a lot of young wide receivers right now, so they could keep that up, but eventually they're going to have to probably let some of them go. So they need to keep their receivers replenished. And I honestly think, you know, there's some guys that I really like that are going, that if they selected them earlier, I would be totally happy about. Rager's a good example. I think it's Sims is a good, or Mims, I'm sorry, Mims out of Baylor. And then there's, Chase Claypool, I think, would be a heck of a burner to get. But if you get Juwan Jennings for basically nothing, I think that he would come into camp, he would compete, he would be your fourth to fifth wide receiver option. He's a tough guy that can play over the middle, and when he gets the ball in his hands, he's dangerous. I really like the way that he plays. So again, congratulations, Clint Fritz. You won this week's Mock Draft Monday. Thanks to everyone who contributed and who played this week. Be sure to tune in next week, or next Friday. Remember, I put the Mock Draft Monday post up in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. If you're not on that Facebook group right now, just search Locked On Steelers into Facebook. You'll find it. Ask to join it. I'll add you as soon as I can. We get a lot of bots that try to get in, man. I'm trying my best to keep them out. Thanks to all those who did that. Be sure to stay tuned next for this upcoming Friday when the new post is made. Tomorrow, I got Tony Tuesday. Tony's going to make his triumphant return and celebrate winning the first fantasy draft Friday. Thanks, guys, for giving Tony that boost of confidence. He's going to be playing DuckTales. It's going to be annoying, and it's all your fault. Anyways, we'll get into it. If you're liking the show, please hit the subscribe button. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere that you find podcasts. Also, if you get a chance and you really enjoy the show, please leave a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. Those who leave 5-star reviews will have their reviews read out on air, just like this person who just left one over the weekend. This one comes from T12. Thank you, T12, for your 5-star review. He says, love it. Listened on Spotify for the last 6 months or so, switching to Apple Music now so I have a way. It was never really a great way to review or comment before. Definitely love this show. It has got me through the Fort Pitt tunnels every morning, which we all know is never easy. He's not lying. I go through the Fort Pitt tunnels all the time. keep on rocking, Chris. Love Tony's Tuesdays. Hope they last longer than Duck's career. Ooh, with the Steelers is going to last. Oh, man. Teak 12 sticking the dagger into Tony's heart with that one right there. Teak, hope you're listening to this and you're getting to work safe. Everything's great with you. Thank you for that review. If you want your review read, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We don't know how to do it on Spotify. I'm not sure if that's a thing, but on Apple Podcasts, it helps me review it, and those really help us get the rankings up and get the word about the show. So again, thanks for doing that. Tune in tomorrow for Tony Tuesdays. We're going to have some fun discussions, and Tony's probably going to gloat about winning Fantasy Draft Friday. So that'll be fun. See you later.